Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, comedian Sam Morril talks about a date that went in a direction he did not see coming.
She pours me a scotch. I take a sip. She pours me another scotch. Start drinking it. And then she just starts kissing me. Then she stops and she said, I really hope my roommate doesn't catch us. And I was like, yeah, I also hope that that doesn't happen. I didn't really know what to do in this moment.
Find out what he did do on this episode of Storyworthy. Comedian Sam Morril talks about getting duped. Stay close.
Hey, it's Sam Morril, and you are listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. And I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week, which was actually, now that I think of it, it was Story Smash, the game show. So last week was a live story. Sam, do you know Story Smash?
I don't know.
You're going to have to come to our game show.
I know of it. I've heard that it's very big. So, you know, I did Rachel O'Brien's show, and yeah. she said very nice stuff about it.
Oh, very nice. Yes, Rachel O'Brien has done Story Smash a couple of times. It's the storytelling game show, and we play monthly at the Hollywood Improv. So you guys, if you are in LA, really, do not miss the show. We've been going over a year now. And you know, Sam, just 2 months ago, we had Larry King on the show.
Whoa.
I know. And Danny Zucker was on the same show, and they kissed.
Whoa.
So, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that happens on Story Smash.
Maybe
right?
if you live long enough, you just become gay. Maybe that's the Larry King thing.
I don't know exactly. Well, what happened, to tell you the truth, is Larry King happened to mention on stage that he was only kissed one time in his life by a man, and that was Marlon Brando.
Whoa.
And that was like a famous interview. I remember that, yeah. Seeing that on TV. And then Larry said, and you know what, folks? I'm telling you the truth right now. I still think about it.
Whoa.
How about that?
Wouldn't
and then,
you?
And that, well,
I kissed a boy once. I think about it all the time.
Did you?
Yeah.
Are you lying?
Lying? No.
Was it recent or a while ago?
No, I was in second grade.
Oh, I see.
And we full on made out.
But was it just because you wanted to feel what
Yeah,
it was
I want
like?
To feel something.
Yeah. But did you do it to your hand first? Like that?
No. But he, I remember I got aggressive with it because I was like just a rebel kid. So I was like, well, how do people have sex? And he was like, they rub dicks together. So he was incorrect, but that was what he went with.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's do it. And he was like, no. And I'm glad he pulled a red light right there.
I'm so glad I didn't have a boy. I mean, I have a girl, and I just feel like a boy would be...
An aggressive thing for me to tell you out of the gate.
Listen, you guys, you are here on a great day because I have comedian Sam Morril here. So go back, listen to Story Smash, but not now. Right now, you're here with me, and Sam brings forth the topic, getting duped with Sam Morril. Getting duped. And this is, honestly, you just told me this topic, and I thought to myself, I can't believe I haven't talked about this on Storyworthy.
Sure.
In the last 8 years, we've been doing the show, and I've heard so many stories, and really...
But never being duped.
I've never heard that story, and really, it seems like everybody's been duped.
Okay.
Can I tell you how I was duped?
Please.
And this, see now, this isn't even a funny getting duped. I don't know if yours is funny.
I hope it is.
Well, mine isn't, and I'm going to lay it on you anyway.
Lay it on.
About 4 years ago, I started doing audiobooks. You know, like recording audiobooks in my closet, which I have a little recording studio, and I'd do them during the day when my daughter was at school, and then at night I would edit them. And it takes a long time to do an audiobook. And I did 11 of them, and I didn't get paid for 7 of them.
Whoa, that's horrible.
I got duped by this publisher in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. His name is Fred Godsmark, and the name of his company, I don't mind sharing with
everyone.
Away. Yeah, exactly. Is God, now I forget the name of his company. Anyway, so yeah, he duped me and had me believing that I was going to get paid for these books.
Scum.
And it took, you know, one book, it could be like 9.5 hours long. And that
I listen to audiobooks. They take forever to listen to. I can't imagine how long it is. Because you probably have to do a bunch of takes of
You do a
things.
Bunch of takes. Yeah. Well, first you have to like learn the script because I'm doing different characters. And you learn the script. And then you know have to do nuances. Then you record it all. And then the editing is so precise and takes a long, long time. So,
well, he's a bad person for doing that too.
He was a really bad person. Yeah, Audio Realms was called. Audio Realms. Fred Godsmark. Anyway, bad guy, unfortunately. But he literally duped me like
Godsmark?
Yep, that's the last name. And he would say things like, you know, the check is in the mail. Literally, those are the words. And I'm like a full-grown woman, and I don't know if I wanted the money so bad, because I need the money.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a single mom, and I don't know what made me be vulnerable to him, or that I am good at it. Like, I was good at it. And four of the books are published.
But also, that aside, you should be paid for your hard work.
Right. I mean,
especially if he was told you would be.
I don't understand how I got duped is my problem. Like, I don't know how he pulled that over on me.
It happens to all of us. That happened to me once in Atlantic City. I did a gig, and the guy, Bob Kephart, as long as we're naming names.
Yeah.
You know, he always paid people, I guess, a month later. And for whatever reason, this was around the time he just ran out of money and stopped paying people. And I never got paid for that weekend. And it was a long week in Atlantic City, and I was pretty pissed about it.
Like, you don't forget it.
Well, yeah, of course it stings, and it's not like you're going for Atlantic City for the love of the game. That was a cash gig.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really something in life that people have the capacity to do that. Like, I think about myself, like, I have plenty of faults, but, like, cheating somebody, I just can't even imagine.
Dishonesty
that.
Is probably my least favorite. That's one of my least favorite characteristics in a human.
Yeah.
Dishonesty is an ugly quality.
I wonder if that also has to do with being a comedian and kind of being like kind of a straight, most comedians I know, they're very much straight shooters. And, you know, so.
Because they can sense if you're lying.
Exactly.
The crowd.
Exactly.
We've all seen that comic where you're like, I don't think that really happened. And the bit usually doesn't work because of that, unless their whole thing is like all made up silliness.
Yeah. Unless it's the whole thing is like totally. Dice clay. You mean like that? You mean like a whole character?
Well, if you're being silly and like, well, like, clearly that didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's comics like that who are just, their whole thing is silliness. But then, of course, there's people who the joke is working because you're like, I can't believe this person would do that.
Yeah.
And it's awesome that they're being this honest. So
right.
Someone like Richard Pryor, obviously, you know.
Yeah. Or I also was in a car in Istanbul, Turkey once in my life, a couple of years ago, and got duped by a driver, which is really, really common and happens over there all the time. If you look at any guidebook, they'll tell you in Istanbul, you are going to get ripped off. So know that before you go to the city. You're going to get ripped
off. It's their motto. We're going
to
get you.
I mean, honestly, and it happened to me. The trick that I knew could happen, I saw that it could start. I saw it starting, and it happened anyway, and I lost like $40.
Man.
I know. That's so annoying. It's just, yeah, it is annoying, and getting duped is, never pleasant. But I hope your story is more upbeat. But if it's not, that's fine, too. As long as it's story-worthy, you know. All right, you guys, listen, before we get over to Sam's story, I wanted to remind you guys to, you know, I don't have to remind you to listen to the show because you are. So that's like preaching to the choir.
Sure.
So I'm just going to move on.
Okay.
I'm not even going to say anything. How about that? Follow me on Instagram. Or not, you know.
Do it though. No, don't go back. Don't give them the out.
Follow her. That's right. There is no going back. You have to follow me on Instagram and of course on Twitter as well. And give me a 5-star review. You know, that's always a kind thing to do. You know that.
Yeah.
Don't dupe me, you know. All right, you guys, he's here right now, Sam Morrell. He is a comedian. And boy, I'll tell you, you've got such a fabulous resume,
thank you,
Sam. You've been on Stephen Colbert's show and on Conan many times.
Yeah.
You were on Last Comic Standing, America's Got Talent, and At Midnight. And also on Inside with Amy Schumer.
Sure, yeah.
So this is fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for you. Also, your debut album on Comedy Central went to number one on iTunes.
Uh-huh.
And it's made all kinds of top 10 lists. I don't have to tell you. You know this. And you had your own half-hour Comedy Central special.
Yes.
So this is all just really good stuff. And I'm so happy you're here. And right now, you guys, Sam Morrell has a brand new Comedy Central one-hour special out. It's called Positive Influence. And right now, between September 30th and November 30th, you can go to ComedyCentral.com and watch it completely for free. No paywall, nothing like that. Watch it completely for free. It is just fantastic. Positive Influence on ComedyCentral.com. And you can find Sam over on Twitter at Sam Morrell. SammorRil. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Sam Morrell.
All right, so we're talking about getting duped. This is how this story started. I had just had a breakup with a girl. This is many years ago now. And I had not been on many dates. I met a girl online. I met her, I think it was OkCupid, and she somehow was better looking than the pictures, which is like, when the hell does that ever happen? You know, she's like, I was like, wow, she's gorgeous. And the way I tell it, I'm like, we got drunk. I think I got drunk. I think it was more me than her. But we had some drinks. It was like a weird bar in Brooklyn. And the night went on and on. And I remember it was like a cold New York winter. And as we walked outside, I remember her being very proper. And as I hugged her goodbye, I gave her a big kiss. And as I let her go, she went, "Oh my, I didn't expect that." And I was like, "All right, well," I was hammered. So I said, "Well, you better expect it." And then I never heard from her again. I was like, "Well, that was probably deserved, you know?" That was that. And, you know, I was like, wow, I didn't play that right. Like, sometimes I just revisit things I've said at the end of dates, and I'm like, why are you so stupid? And I remember months go by. I messaged her, like, once or twice, and she didn't get back. And I was like, well, I guess that's that. You know, that's just how it goes. And I'm a little fresh out of a breakup. Maybe my game's not, you know, on point right now. So I remember months later, I get a text from her, "Where are you?" And I said, "I'm in Union Square. What's up?" And she said, I want to get freaky with you. That's what she wrote. And I was like, is this a practical joke? In my head, it's so out of character from how she behaved on the date. So I was like, this feels like a practical joke. And I don't know how to respond to that. I'm not used to getting texts like that. So I just said, "Oh yeah?" with a question mark. That's what I wrote back. And she wrote back, "Do you want to get your dick sucked or not?" So the way I tell it is that I excuse myself from lunch with my parents. That's who I was. And I'm like, I don't buy that it's her. It feels so out of character. It feels like I'm going to get robbed. Like it's a setup to get robbed. Like someone stole her phone and this is how he's scrolling through the most vulnerable idiots in her message book. And I call and she said, "It's me. I've had a bad week at work. I want to see you and I want to fuck you." And I said, okay. You know, I'm kind of sounds all right to me. So I write back. I go back to lunch with my mom and dad. This is a weird way to go back. And I say, "Mom, I got to go. An audition just came up." I'm always remember my mom said, she said, "Go get him, Sammy." And I was like, ugh, I am not a good person. I just lied to my mother's face in pursuit of sex or oral sex. Who knows what's going to happen? So as I'm leaving, my dad's like, you know, does a goodbye wave. I call my friend Rachel Feinstein, who's, you know, a comic and one of my best friends for many years now. And Rachel, I was working on a show with her at the time. She was developing something. I don't remember what it was, but I called her and said, "Hey, it's a little weird. There's a few red flags about this. You know, it's a different apartment than when I dropped her off after the date. But, you know, it's New York. People sublet all the time." I'm like maybe this is called blowjob rationale, sex rationale. I say blowjob because in the message, she actually said, "Do you want to get your dick sucked or not?" That's when I left, and I was like, well, that was aggressive, but let me see what this is. And there's like red flags, but I'm also kind of like in a weird place at this time in my life. Like I got dumped by someone who I love very much. And I just was like, let me just live an adventure, I guess. That was kind of where my mind was at. I see that you're like, what is going to happen? So I call Rachel and she is just like, this girl sounds unstable. What the hell is wrong with you? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm doing this. I'm going to do it. And she said, "I hate that you're doing this. Just give me the address so I know where you are so nothing happens." Rachel's like a sister to me. I mean, we're like very close. And, you know, she said, "Just if something happens, call me afterwards." And I said, "All right, fine." So I go, and it's like a nice luxury apartment in Williamsburg. It's kind of shady to me. And I text her. I'm like, "Can we just have a drink downstairs first?" And I know this like dive bar right by there called Turkey's Nest, which I kind of like. And I was like, well, this will take the edge off. And she said, "No, I have scotch upstairs. Come up." And I said, okay. And she comes downstairs to get me because I think she could tell I was a little nervous. And she looks beautiful again. She's very pretty. And we go up to the apartment. The apartment is not much decorated. It almost looked like a porno set. It was there was a leather couch and a bottle of Japanese scotch. That's all I remember. And being like, well, this is a little strange. She pours me a scotch. I take a sip. She pours me another scotch. I start drinking it. And then she just starts kissing me. And all of a sudden, before I know it, she's going down on me. And then she stops and she said, "I really hope my roommate doesn't catch us." And I was like, yeah, I also hope that doesn't happen. Let's go to your bedroom. And she goes, no, I want him to catch us. And that's probably when I should have left. And I do this on stage and I say, unfortunately, I was with my penis at the time. And that guy's persuasive. So we go to the bedroom and she continues right where she left off. All of a sudden, like 30 seconds later, the door swings open. There's a guy standing right there. He's in a tank top. He's kind of jacked. He's all tatted up. And he's just staring at me as she's still going. And I kind of like don't know what to, in a moment of panic, I just turn to him and I go, can I help you? And he goes, we going to do this? I was like, excuse me? He said, are we going to do her? And I said, I don't really follow. And he said, right now, me and you. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm not that type of person. And he said, well, and I don't know if you've ever been terrified and still somewhat hard. It's a confusing feeling. Yeah. I didn't really know what to do in this moment. And I just said, hey, this is not right for me. And he goes, well, you're either in or you're out. And I was like, well, man, I don't know. I was so traumatized in this moment that I just kind of, I look at her for something and she gives me nothing. She's like, kind of shrugged, like, yeah, that's what I wanted to do. She kind of set me up for this. And I was like, all right. I remember just reaching, I always think you're either in or you're out. I'm like, well, this isn't Ocean's 11. This is quite more serious than that. So I said, no, I'm not doing this. And I ran for my bag. I didn't even pull my pants up. I ran for my bag. I run out and I'm like, what the hell just happened? Call my friend Rachel and she's like, I'm just happy you're okay. You're an idiot. I'm mad at you, but I'm glad everything's all right. And I was like, yeah, all right. And I do this bit on stage. I do a version of it on stage. And how I end it is some truth to it. Is my mom called me to see how the audition went. And I said, well, Mom, more people went out for the part than I'd anticipated. And I think they're going to go with this other guy. So anyway, this was like a rude awakening. I remember I told a couple friends who are comics. And, you know, some comics are the sweetest guys and some are kind of dirtbags. And I remember telling one guy, he's like, I totally would have gone for it. And I was like, well, we're wired differently. I was scared kind of for my safety in that moment. I was like, I don't know if they were going to like rob me or something. So it was definitely a scary experience. I kind of wrote her an angry text, like, you can't do that to someone. Like, think about if I did that to you, that would be like, how horrifying that would be if a dude just came out. And she's like, you're right, I shouldn't have done that. I thought you'd be cool with it.
I cannot believe that happened to you, Sam. I am so sorry.
It makes for a good story, so it's
but
not
it's
that
really
bad.
But it's really scary. I mean, that was like a...
Is that you looking at me like you were terrified for me? Is this too dark a story for your podcast?
No. I love it. So what was her name? Did she give you a name?
Charmaine.
Charmaine. Yeah. And then when you went to the apartment...
And looking back, it's a little strange that she said, oh my, at the kiss.
Yeah, all of this. And then what was she wearing when she came down to get you?
I don't remember. It was nothing that really like jumped out
yeah.
at me. It was nothing.
And was she like kissing you as soon as you walked in the room?
Yeah, we kissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you look for cameras?
No, I didn't think. But boy, he put that in my head now.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Was it well lit, the room?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was normal.
Because they could have been recording or something.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Wow, man, that's
my mom heard. My mom heard about that story. I think it's in my half hour special, a short version of it.
Yeah,
and she was like, "What the hell?"
Yeah,
and she's like, "Is that true?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I hate to tell you, but
how old were you when that happened?"
I want to say 26 or 27.
Yeah, it's a cautionary tale.
Sure.
I think that's so funny that you told your friend Rachel that you were doing this. I mean, yeah.
Something fell off.
Yeah, so something, I know, right? As soon as you told me you told her, I thought you must have thought something felt off because why? I mean, I could see why you'd share, you know, just the story with her, but why before you went?
Because we share all of our stuff kind of like she's someone I tell, like if I ever have a feeling about a girl or something, good or bad, I kind of share with her. And I think she's always been that way with me too.
That's so lucky.
Yeah. She's super tuned into human, like how I was saying human behavior, but like Rachel's been in therapy for so long. So she picks up on things.
She knows things. Yeah.
She's, I think, pretty wise.
You get really educated in therapy after a long time.
Yeah.
You know, because you not only if it doesn't necessarily have to do with you, but you get to understand like other people's issues. Like, you know, you kind of get in touch with all that. I mean, I've heard. So had you ever, this was, On OkCupid?
Yes.
Had you dated?
Horrible advertisement for their site.
Yeah, really. Had you ever done gone out with other girls on OkCupid?
I'd gone a couple dates, yeah.
Like not a big deal.
No, it's, I mean, this is rare.
Yeah, very, well, yeah, it's very rare. but I mean, I wonder what made this girl stick out. In other words, if you're on OkCupid, right?
Yeah.
And then you see like a really hot girl.
She was hot.
So doesn't that make your, you know, like, you know, her eyes.
What's she doing here?
Yeah, what's she doing here? What's going on?
I just think, I just assumed internet dating is kind of what people do now. So
yeah.
I guess I was like, I'm there. You know?
No, I understand that. But I guess I just feel like if it's too good to be true, like this whole, and I guess even to take it further, when she texted you, you know, do you want me to suck your dick? It's like, whoa. Like that's...
Some girls are freaky. I don't know. I mean, there's some people that are just like sex.
But it wasn't on Tinder. Or it wasn't on one of the sites that is more about hooking up in immediate. OkCupid's more of a dating...
Right.
But I guess maybe she just, yeah, I mean, she...
But some people are just forward sexually, and I kind of guess it felt weird to me, but mostly it felt weird because of how she behaved on the first date.
Yeah.
So it didn't feel like... I mean, I've had women...
Yeah.
Text me dirty things. I don't really think much of it. I think it's kind of like,
yeah.
It's cool to be forward sexually sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah, no, totally. But just not when the other guy comes in the room.
That's where I draw the line.
Things got. I mean, yeah, that was a surprise. Well, I'm glad. Yeah, you got duped. You got really duped bad. Have you been back on OkCupid?
You know what's crazy? I'm working on an audiobook about it. I hope I get paid.
Oh, man. I hope you do too, man. Because the last thing you want is to spend all that time editing. So have you been back on OkCupid?
No, I don't really. I can't do internet dating anymore. Yeah. And maybe someday I'll go back to. But I kind of prefer to meet people in person.
Yeah. Well, and you are out and about a lot, so you can meet people.
I like to pick up on an energy. I mean, there's so many things that you don't factor in on these sites. Voice, for one thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be attracted to someone's voice or like their energy or like just how they act. And like, to me, that is sexier than any picture. Like, pictures, weirdly, I mean, they can lie in a lot of ways.
Yeah. It's so true with the energy thing. Because like, I dated a couple of times on OkCupid. And I remember one guy I went to meet. It's like as soon as, you know, I'll meet you there, you know, I'll meet you at the bar, as it were. And as soon as I walked in, it's like as soon as I step in the doorway and I see him, it's, I know this isn't happening.
Right. I've had that feeling too. And I've also had that feeling where I go on a date and I can tell they feel that way about me. And I'm like, well, we could cut this short.
What do you say? Do you say, do you want to cut it short? Or do you
I can, if I pick up on it, you know, I'm in my head already, so I don't want to, I don't want to draw out anything that they're clearly not into. And
it's
also,
like we're adults here. Let's just call it a draw.
I also feel like, you know, where they meet me matters. Like if they meet me on stage, they see me, in my mind, at my best.
Yeah.
You know, if they tell me I have a good set, maybe they'll be more interested. And then for some people, if that's how they meet me, the real me is a letdown because I'm off and I'm being normal and I'm a person as opposed to this guy they just saw on a stage being funny. So.
Yeah. Do you find like you get that a lot in terms of as a comedian? Because it's almost like a rock star thing in a way, you know, on stage, off stage.
It's a different personality for sure. I don't know. It depends. I mean, I haven't dated in a while. I mean, I was in a relationship for a long time and I haven't been with, like, you know, I'm in kind of a place right now where I'm not super connected, so it's hard for me to, I'm sure I'll meet someone and at some point be ready to really let them in, but it's hard for me right now.
I hear you. Plus you're also very, very busy.
I guess so, yeah.
I mean, you're performing a lot, and now this Comedy Central, the special that just dropped 2 weeks ago, no, it wasn't 2 weeks ago, today's October 1st, so it just dropped September 14th, yeah, 2 weeks ago,
yeah.
Right?
But it's, yeah.
Okay, so are you excited?
I am excited. I think, you know, I put a lot of work into those jokes, and there's a lot of, I think, fun stuff in there. If you like tight jokes, I mean, there's not a lot of fat in that special, so I think it'll move pretty quickly. It's so great.
And so now, it must feel like sometimes when you're done with a comedy special, like almost like finishing an album, right? So like the band put the album out.
Postpartum funk?
Well, they got to tour with it, first of all, so that you've got to, you know, use
it. Well, the band does. I don't. I'm trying to shed it all.
Really? Yeah. Already?
Well, I taped it in December, so I feel like I'm almost done with it. Of course, there's like a couple of jokes I'll use to get through these hour-long sets, but like I feel like I'm almost off it.
Is that your favorite length of time to be on stage?
Probably, because, if they're good, if they don't like me, it's brutal. But yeah. If they're good, then yeah, because I can try new stuff, I can experiment, I can play some of the jokes that are working. I mean, it's a good length for them to see who you are and to get a full scope of that, I think.
Yeah, that's great. Who's your favorite audience? Like, what kind of people?
Definitely mixed, energetic. I love New York crowds.
But is it like, do you like to do colleges? Is that kind of,
I don't like it. I don't have the experiences at colleges where that I've heard people say, well, they're so PC. I find that I would do pretty well at them.
Yeah.
But I also, I think the more adult my material gets, because I'm just getting a little older. I'm not old, but I'm not a kid anymore. So it definitely resonates with them less. It was easier when I was just like
that age.
Yeah,
And there's always going to be that high energy 20-year-old comic that could just knock it out of the park, right?
But I don't know. I guess I like like adults. I like adults who are on dates and or with their friends and just
smart,
ready to,
more smart humor.
I guess.
Well, they stay with you. And so what's your end goal? Do you want to keep doing more comedy specials, of course, or acting?
Definitely.
Is acting in your...
I'll take parts if it'll help put people on the seats in the road, you know, but and I think it could be fun, but stand-up is my love. Like, I really think I'm that's where I'm at my best, and I acting is one of the things where it's like, well, I didn't get into this to be an actor.
Yeah.
I would have worked on acting.
Acting is so funny too, especially for film and television. When they redo it so many times, it kind of loses that first feeling of the initial.
Well, that's where the acting comes in, right?
To fake it, but also the repetitiveness of it. In other words, it's not like a play where you're on stage and it's in the moment and you only have one shot, or like a stand-up special or doing stand-up comedy. You know, you're on stage, you've got to run through this for an hour.
Totally.
You can't go back. You can't say, let me just do that joke one more time. Whereas when you're acting, especially film and television, it's all about doing it again and again and again.
Repetition.
So as an artist, I would think you would be more, happy or more fulfilled being on stage because it's more tangible.
It's what I work for. Like, I like writing. I sometimes I read these auditions and I'm just like, I don't like this. I don't want to do it. You know,
wow.
So. I don't want to do things I don't like anymore. I've done them. I don't want to keep doing them.
Good on you, man. That's great.
And I think that I'll ultimately be more successful if I stick to stuff that I like doing.
You will.
So I think you just got to be true to yourself. And then also...
Don't get duped.
And always check the closet doors to see if someone's hiding in there waiting to come out.
God damn.
I think you just got to... Like with acting, there are people that give it their all the way I do that for stand-up, so why not? Like if someone wants to put me in their movie and it's cool, I'm thrilled to do it.
Yeah, who wouldn't, right?
But I also, it's not what I'm going to seek out as much as I'll seek out
stand-up. And also, it's so empowering to be your own person, and you have a manager or a publicist or whatever, but you're still a one-man band in that you go on that stage and the microphone's on and it's just you and the audience and you just have to control that, make that happen.
I like the idea of like winning or losing on your own terms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you do certain things, like as you said, a band, there could be one person, there could be some weird tension, there could be those team-ups and, two against one, whatever it is. But with stand-up, it's pretty much on you. Like I can decide how much I get on stage. I try to just... I mean, as you said, it's funny you said repetition with acting, because I feel like sometimes I'm not living life enough because I'm doing so many sets and I'm like, you don't want to be that guy who every joke is like, so I was at the coffee shop the other day.
Yeah.
Or I was at the comedy club the other day.
Yeah.
You want to live life.
Yeah, but Sam, you are so young and this is just one period of your life.
Totally. But I don't see it slowing down. Like, I don't know how I can stop because I'm scared to lose. I feel like so rusty when I take even a day off.
Yeah, because you've got this momentum going and then you fear that if you back off, you might slide.
Totally.
Back. Yeah, but that's, I'm not positive about this, but I think that that's not only very normal to feel that way, it's also not true.
Okay.
I mean,
I just caved on that so quickly.
Yeah, come on out of the closet. I'm duping you right now. But I guess what I mean is like, what you have inside of you and your power over an audience and your success, isn't going away in 24 hours or 48 hours, or even if you took 2 weeks off, I know it might be feel you would feel uncomfortable. Nobody yeah. would think like, well, fuck that Sam Morril, man, because he didn't make a joke today.
They probably like me better because I disappeared. They're like, oh, good, it's good Twitter. To see you.
Yeah. Well, no, but it, there's something to be said for like Patton Oswalt always takes, I don't know if he does it anymore, but for a period, he would always take the summer off of Twitter. I don't
know. Oh,
he would take off from, he'd say, okay, see you, in the, you know, see you Labor Day. He'd go Memorial Day to Labor Day. And nobody missed it. I mean, nobody, you know what I mean? Like, everybody still does their own thing. But you come back, and nobody could have taken your voice. And nobody could do what you do.
I always fear that. Like, I remember I was trying to make a show, and I was so nervous to get on air. Because I'm like, I don't want to take it. And then someone said to me, it's your story. Like, no one else has that story.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a fair point.
Yeah, I'm running my one-woman show now as well. And I get nervous about it. But it's the same thing. I have a very unique story. Nobody can take it away. So those feelings of anxiety, that's all myself, you know? And I think
I just am scared that something semi-similar is going to come along yeah. in terms of like tone or something. Yeah. And it's just, then my show would feel less original.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I feel that with my game show as well, because the concept is totally my own and I've created it 7 years ago. I've been working on it all this time, but it's not like somebody else couldn't come up with the exact same idea.
Sure.
Name it something different and then... But this is just basic fear, and most fear is completely unfounded. It's just in our head. So here's what I'm saying. I'm talking to myself. I'm not saying don't feel that way or don't have that fear. Just know that you're not alone because everybody feels the same way, but also most of it, 98%, is probably unfounded.
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. It's fucking hard. You know? It's just hustling, hustling, hustling.
But it's cool too. I mean, it keeps you good.
Yeah, and keeps you like kind of in the moment, and everything is like at your fingertips. You know, you're not going to be boring.
No.
Fear is never boring.
Boredom is. I mean, that's when you lose your fear. That's like when you're like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Like, why do I? Like, what's the point? Like, right. That's why I think I have to keep doing jokes that I'm scared won't work because. Mm. Otherwise, what's the rush? I mean, I could write another dick joke.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of dick jokes.
Mm-hmm.
They'll never go away.
No, they'll never go away. They're always popular.
And it's always fun to throw one in to just lighten up the mood. But mm-hmm. at the same time, like, you throw some weirder stuff in there, it gives you a little bit more of a rush.
And it gives you, it's like a little more levity to the situation.
Yes.
And it fills you out to kind of use your whole person, not just your sharp tongue when you know you can get the laugh. You know, it has a more of a meaning to it.
Totally.
Hey, you guys, listen, thank you so much for tuning in today. That was a great story, Sam.
Thank really, you. I was scared. Duped. It was terrible because you were giving me this fearful look, and I was like, did I pick the wrong story to tell?
No, them? I was fearing for you because I was just thinking, like, I just don't know what I would have done. That's like, and you really set the mood. That's good, man. It's a great story. Great story. All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up right now. Please tweet Sam over there on Twitter and let him know that you loved his story and tell him it's okay. Don't be worried about him like I was. He's fine. Tweet him over there at Sam Morril and also follow me over there as well at Storyworthy, of course. And I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in today. I really appreciate each and every listener. Please tell a friend about Storyworthy today and then I can keep this train rolling. And one more time, on behalf of the very talented Sam Morril, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
My name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Story Worthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.